Praise the Lord.
Hello.
I thank the Lord for being here today and knowing, you know, God is a good God. And I was thinking this morning, well, maybe it was yesterday, and a song dropped in my mind. It was an old song, and it was simply walking the light, the beautiful light. I want to give you the mercy, shine bright. Shine all around us for day and night. Jesus, the light of the world. And that song just kept ringing and ringing in my mind. As I began to just study the Sunday school lesson, I went over it again because I've read it a few times. So I could get myself together. I haven't been in this position in a while. And I thank God for what Brother Miguel has been doing. I told him I would. I would see what I was going to do, what was going to do. And I was intending to, text Brother Herbert and forgot all about it. And then I thought, well, it's too late to ask him now. So I guess it'd be, maybe it would be me to be up here today. And I just thank God because he is a good God. The subject of our lesson today, and we've had a lot of history on our lessons, and I thank the Lord for Brother Miguel as he digs up all the history of things that are going on at the time of Jesus' birth, and there's a lot of information that he has already given us. And we know that this is a very familiar passage of scripture. The subject says the birth of the Savior. And the lesson, of course, is found in Luke chapter 2, 1 through 17. And we're to read Psalms 96, verse 1 through 13, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, Micah chapter 5, verse 2 through 4, Isaiah chapter 16, verse 1 through 9, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. And the time is 6 or 5 BC, place Nazareth and Bethlehem. So as I'm in our lesson today, knowing here that the writer, of course, is Luke. And Luke was very detailed in the recounting birth of Christ as the Lord began to give him the words and the divine power to as he began to write the book of Luke. And I was reading this, and when you're telling a story that is foundational to the benefit and hopes of people, it's important to tell it well. And we find that Luke here was telling the story of the birth of Christ well. Now, whether or not that, you know, the time and the season that we're in, that he was actually born on this day, we have no information for sure. But it's just a day that mankind has set aside to worship the Lord regarding the birth, his birth. So we find here that there's not a time, but it's important how he told the story. And Luke, I was reading this, said, was a historian. All right, and he had many sources at his disposal. And under inspiration, he wrote the story of Jesus' birth in his day. Many things are known about, many things were known about Jesus since in the beginning, and some have already forgotten. And if you think about it, and you look around, and you see how people get so upset at this time of the year because they can't do this, or they can't financially allow this, they can't do this and that, and people are just taking their lives. They're just getting beside themselves, not realizing and not remembering why we celebrate this day and during the holiday season. And you can get wrapped up in these things if we are not careful. And so, as I was, and I had to really pray this morning, because I think I've overdone it, trying to do a little of this and a little of that. And I'm a cake baker, and I like baking. And I think I overdid it, but nevertheless, it got done. So this morning as I got up, the healing of my body has begun. I can say that. And the enemy was trying to make me think, you need to just stay home because the pain is getting bad. And I said, no, I am not going to stay home. I almost texted Elder one time and said, you're going to have to teach, or somebody teach, because I'm not going to be able to do it. But, you know, I kept pressing, and I kept pushing. And as I got here, it wasn't as severe as it was. I'm like, once I got my feet on the church ground, it seemed like it wasn't as bad. You know, it was more tolerable. And as I got inside the sanctuary, and I sat back there and prayed for a few minutes, and because I was running late, and I'm sorry, because I usually try to give it for prayer, but it was just a trick of the enemy that I had slowed down. But as I got in here and got up a little closer, the closer I got to the front, the easier it was for me to walk. And you know, and I thank God for that, because I know what God is doing. I told him I was in a storm, and I'm coming out. I don't know exactly when it's going to actually be that it's going to be completed, but I'm holding on to God's word that he is a healer. Because somebody reminded me again the other day, said, well, Minister Gardner, he did it before. You didn't have to have brain surgery. I said, yeah, you're right. I sure did. You know, and it was just a reminder, not that I forgot, but it was reminding me of what God can do. And even in this lesson today, we find here, what is the birth about? What is the birth of Christ about? And I begin to think about it in this lesson, the purpose here of Luke's account. And he began to talk about the birth of the greatest king. The birth of the Messiah is about the true Lord. The majesty exceeds even Caesar when he was in a ruler. What he did was nothing compared to what Jesus did. Although he came in a lowly state. He came and was born in a manger in a feeding trough. It wasn't a grand, the room wasn't grand with all tapestries and things, but it was lowly, humble, how he came. And I thought about even with the lesson about Mary and Joseph, even the things that they had to go through for this to even take place, for this to even happen, you think about what they went through, how obedient they were to do the will of God. And often I ask myself, how obedient are we to do the will of God? Are we ready to move when God says move? Or are we contemplating and thinking, well, maybe that's not it? But I begin to think about how Mary just accepted the challenge. She accepted what the Lord said, and she just decided, what was it she said? Let me go back to the first, to the last week. When she said, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, I'm going to read it, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. So what did she say? She was just basically saying, all right, I'm willing. Are we willing as the people of God today, no matter the circumstances or what we have to go through, but are we willing? So as we get into our lesson today, we're going to see one of the greatest gifts that was given to mankind. And that was the birth of our Savior. The greatest, when I say the greatest, I mean nothing can compare. Amen. To Jesus coming down, wrapping himself in blood, in the form of a baby, and then dying on the cross, that we, and rose again, that we have salvation today. That's the greatest gift. And if people could look at that, and I mean even the saints, if we can just get that in our mind. The purpose of this time that has been set aside. Not to get the biggest gift, not to get this and that. My daughter gave me some this morning. She said, this is just a start. I said, honey, I said, that's just fine, man. You don't have to do anything else. I said, because God has done great things for me. And I said, well, Baba, I'm glad. I'm thankful for what you've done and what you've been considering. But it didn't, it went to the point that, oh, I didn't give one. It could have been more than that. You know, I've heard people.
Yeah.
I bet you heard people say that.
Yeah.
It could have been more than that. They didn't give me nothing. You know, I told somebody to give me a brooch because I'm a broke person. I'm just as happy as a lark. If you give me a card, I am so, oh, thank you. Because why? I'm grateful.
Right.
I'm grateful for what God has done. So we're going to read the lesson. I'm going to ask, Brother Herbie, will you read the lesson text for me? The scripture. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All of it started in Luke 2 and 1.
Luke 2 and 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David,
mm-hmm.
to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Mm-hmm.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them.
Yes.
And they were so sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
Mm-hmm.
And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph,
right.
and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, as I said in the beginning, it's a very familiar passage of scripture, but has a lot in it. All right, so we find here that Luke here, as he begins to recount the story, and we find that as he begins to, in Luke, he begins to say, and it came to pass. Do you want to elaborate on, and it came to pass? What does that, what's he saying there when you hear the words and it came to pass?
The prophecy has come into fruition. The plan is coming to motion.
Mm-hmm.
Start.
All right. It starts. Somebody read Micah 2 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's Micah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Micah 2:5.
No, 5:2. I'm sorry.
But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Thou, though thou be low among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to thee ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from of old, from everlasting.
All right. So we find, as Elder said, a prophecy that has come forth, that has taken place. And it came to pass in those days that there went a prophecy that was coming forth. And there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, all the world should be taxed. All right, now begin to think about Caesar here. When he called this to be done, he was a Gentile, a Gentile ruler, and he called for a census of taxation, that there was a purpose in this calling for this taxation, because of what the scripture had said to even where Jesus was born to be what? Born. So you begin to see how God can use anyone. He can use the worst enemy to get his point across of what he wants to do. All right, so all the world had to be taxed. And it says here, and the taxing was first made when Cyrenia was governor of Syria. All right, so we find here that this taxation began to take place. We find here that they had to go to Bethlehem. They were what? It was in Nazareth. So they had to go where? To Bethlehem. And Bethlehem wasn't a short distance. Remember, we get on down in the lesson that Mary was getting very close to giving birth. So, and this wasn't an easy journey. Because I was reading, they said it was 80 to maybe 90 miles to get there. And they didn't have the luxury of having a bus or a car or, you know, something to ride along the road smooth. They didn't have that luxury. So they were basically traveling on foot, and maybe she was riding on an animal. So we begin to see here that was a long journey. But because she had determined in her mind, and this taxation, Mary didn't have to go. Because this was of the house of Mendelssohn. Joseph was the one that had to go. But Mary what? She was by his side. She didn't have to, but she was, but she was by his side. So we find here with this taxation and this traveling and how far that they were going to have to travel, this was a determination. Sometimes in our lives, we may be waiting for the Lord to do something for us. It may take some time. Why do you think it may take some time? What do you think the Lord may be trying to say or trying to do for us? Brother Eddie?
You've been on meditation. You're doing stuff that you've been doing. You bring it out. You go right back in. You stuck long enough to be. You don't want to go back in. Go back in that direction.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm
saying? Mm-hmm.
He knows you.
Right.
He knows you love and you know yourself.
Right. Amen.
He knows what you're doing and what you won't do.
Mm-hmm.
He knows you bring it out now, 3 weeks from now, you'll be right back in.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps you there around it. Make you put a little stuff. But you don't want to go back.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah. Took her with him because of
so much commotion talks you showing. He was thinking about putting away gravel and things of that nature going on. And since he had been assured by the angel what was taking place,
mm-hmm.
she had known the angel had told her that he was going to be out of the shadow. But he was asking how this was going to be, and he was telling her it's going to be a hunger. And so now we find that Joseph is made aware and told to not worry, to take her. So he takes her with him. And one of the things that is alluded to that he talked about is the fact that their offering that they brought to the temple for Jesus was a meager offering. So since they made this 80-mile journey to Bethlehem, and Jerusalem was only 5 days away, they said, okay, the baby comes. We'll already be in the vicinity. No need to try to make this journey again. We'll be here. And we can stay until the time is accomplished for you and to be able to perform what we need to perform for the child in the temple. So things come together. God's got a plan and how he does everything. And so, like I said, Brother Eddie said, you know, there's timing involved with even getting us where we are together, but also letting us know that we're not on our own time.
All right.
That's what we say, I may not come where you are, but he's right on time. God has a plan. That's one thing that we've got to get in our mind. God has a plan for us, and we are in his plan to do his perfect will, which affects us. So, our task is not going to be what's happening, because what he does to break me out might affect how he's going to break Brother Eddie out, how he's going to do something for you. And
right.
All, and we know, which Paul tells us in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for the good.
Amen.
To live the love of the Lord, to live the love of the Lord. So, there's we're tied to one another, and events are tied together. So this particular event is tied to a lot of things.
A lot of components, lot of things
a lot
that
of things come together in this.
And everything is going to come together. And when you were talking, Elder, this is what I had read, and I was reading. And we, as a people of God, we need to be on the lookout for the unseen hand of God. What sometimes we call coincidence is really a divine plan that God is putting in place for us as a people of God. Really, it's something God is getting ready to do, but we can't see it. So we can only see as far as the nose on our face. We can't see what God is going to do. But always stay in God's will, because God has a plan for each and every one of us in here. We may have to go through a storm in order for that plan to come into effect. And when I say storm, mean trials and tribulations and sicknesses and things may come up on us, but it's a reason why. And we have to really be prayerful, because the body don't like pain. Am I right?
Okay.
The body don't like to feel bad. We want to be up, moving, and going, but sometimes God has to slow us down. There's things that happen in our life for a reason. And we have to say, all right, Jesus. I said, all right, Lord, show me what you're trying to do. Help me. Help me to get through this situation. Because I go back to sometimes and say, I'm doing all I know to do, Jesus. But I know it's something else that you're trying to show me. And help me to see what you're trying to do in my life. So we find here that it's not a coincidence. God has a way of bringing people across the path of a faithful believer in order to accomplish something. So we find that we should think less in the term of happenstance and more of God's sovereign appointment. As I said, nothing just doesn't happen for no reason, but there's a reason behind it. All right, now, and all went to be taxed every morning to his own city. All right, And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage, what, of David. Now, as I said, they all had to go up to be taxed because of being of the house and the lineage of David. That's where they had to go back to in order that this taxation would take place. So we find here that even with this traveling, as far as they had to travel, they just did what they had to do. Oftentimes, we just got to do what we got to do. All right. Now, it says here, to be taxed with his wife, to be taxed with Mary, is his spouse's wife, being great with child. Now, as I said just a little earlier, being great with child, it didn't say how far along she was, but we know that this thing was what? About, as we read here, that was about to take place. So being great means it wasn't going to be too long before this child was going to come forth. All right, now, I was trying to find maybe a time frame from verse 5 to verse 6, but I didn't, in studying, I did not see actual a time frame. That from the time that they went up and me and her being great with child in the verse 5 to be taxed with Mary, his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was in verse 6 that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Alright, so we find here that while she was there, the key word is accomplished. Somebody give me a definition of the word accomplished. To be done. Anyone else want to give me a definition? Accomplished. And you can look at your phone. Accomplished.
Made to happen.
Okay.
Complete.
Complete. That's a good word. Complete. All right. So we find here that her days were accomplished that she should be delivered. All right. Now we find here, I was going back here, some other individuals where they said the days were accomplished. And I think it was in Esther 2 and 12. Well, Esther waited her days were accomplished, and I think in Jeremiah had told the leaders of Jerusalem that they had days, well, their days were accomplished, going back in Jeremiah 25 and 34. The days, in other words, were going to be complete. The idea of the days being accomplished just simply means that the pregnancy now was, her being pregnant was what? Had completed. It had taken place. In other words, Jesus was born. All right. Now, it's before her that she should deliver. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, going back in that verse 7, when she brought forth her first, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Now, swaddling clothes, I have a question. The swaddling clothes mean that that means a person was poor when they wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes. What are swaddling clothes, first of all?
Right.
Alright, right. Strips of material. But does that mean that they were poor when they wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes?
We have to admit that they were not at home. They were traveling.
Alright.
And so they had to make do with what was available.
Alright, Elvis said they had to make do with what was available. Alright, anyone else? Brother Herbie?
Said they were not from home. So the next thing we think of, which later on in our lesson we talk about security.
I was reading that it wasn't not a sign of poverty. But, of course, they were, as the elder said, they were away from home, they were used and had to use, you know, make use of what they had. But it also talked about, and I read in the lesson, and I read somewhere, I was reading, studying on it, looking it up. And it says here that it's where the baby is cared for, lovingly. I think it's what I would read. Security. I think Brother Irving said the word security. So he wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Then I begin to think of this. What is our security? What has God had given us as our security? What is your security blanket? The Holy Ghost. That came to my mind when I was reading. And I said, oh, wrapped up in Jesus, wrapped up in the Holy Ghost. I got some security. So if I go out here and the enemy is trying to do something, it'll block them off if they can't do nothing. As long as I'm walking upright, doing God's will, and living holy, God is going to keep me what? Covered. And that's why I tell people, treat your Holy Ghost well. Because it is our security. It is our help. It covers us when the enemy is trying to come against us. When we're at home and sleeping in our unconscious sleep, God's Holy Ghost, he sent them angels, and the Holy Ghost is your security around you to keep the enemy from coming into your house. Because the devil is raging, whether we realize it or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, a woman went to the older lady, went to Walmart, and on her way walking in Walmart, she was attacked. Going in Walmart, and she just going about her business, and she was attacked. Somebody was trying to take a purse, knock her down. You know, so when we out, and when we have to go out, I always say, Lord, cover me. I said, give me that cover. I said, because the enemy wants to try to kill us. Don't befriend the enemy and think you can do the things that they're doing, because the devil is setting you up for a fall. And that's what I tell people. It's okay to speak, witness to them, tell them about the blood of Jesus, that God can save them. I had someone to deliver something to my house the other day, because it was something for the foster kids, a courier. And, Pastor Cal, I'm witnessing to everybody. I didn't know the young man, but I just said, well, thank you, and you have a nice day, and I began to talk about Jesus. I said, this time, a season that we're living in, and I invite anybody now. Why don't you come go to church where I came where we are? Why? Because I want everyone to be saved like God has saved me. I'm not selfish. I'm going to tell you about it. Now, whether you do it, that's up to the individual. But it's our job. We are missionaries. Whether we want to be a missionary or not, you are a missionary. And we have to tell the world about Jesus Christ and crucified. All right. Now we find here that the security here was Jesus of God. I thought about this as that Holy Ghost that we have. When I was thinking about that wrapped in swaddling clothes. And it said they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now I think we had talked about this from Miguel had. About where they were. And, he said it possibly could have been a relative's house. I read something that said it could possibly have been, someone that they knew. And they had an extra guest chamber, but the guest chamber was filled. And they had to go ahead and stay in the other part of the house where the animals were kept. And I know over the years, you know, we've talked about the manger and, because I've never called it a hotel, but some people have called it that, hotel or motel or whatever. But it was basically a place where, Bethlehem was not a large area. So it was kind of a small town. And so you had all these people coming to be taxed for this taxation. So they were running out of space and out of room for anyone to stay. So we find here that as they said, because there was no room, so they had to make provision, and they had to go where else they needed to go in order for the Lord, as the Lord came forth. So we find, and that was very, I begin to think about that, how that even in a relative home or maybe somewhere that they knew in an area, they still did not have a good place to be. But it was because that was a purpose and the plan of the Lord to show humility, and we got to be humble ourselves. We can't ride a vehicle instead of on the high horse, because it's a long way down when the Lord, when things start coming apart. All right. Now it says here, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Now we find that we have the shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So we find here that they had to watch the flock because the enemy tried to come in, the rules or whatever, the enemy or other people, somebody may come in to try to take their flock. So they're watching over the flock by night. And then lo, it said the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. What angel do you it didn't give a name. But what angel do you think this may have been? Have you ever thought about it? Sister Rosa?
The mind, okay.
So what? All right, so it came to your mind, Gabriel. Anybody else?
I always say, when the group is silent, I'll stay silent. All right.
Okay. Go ahead.
The name was not important. What was important was the message.
Right. Now, because someone had asked me that question, that's why I was asking that question. And I said, well, if the word didn't say, then I can't tell you. I just knew it was an angel. And because they would say, well, now it was Gabriel. I said, well, the word didn't say Gabriel. It could have been, but it did not say that it was. So you begin to see how things get turned around, things get changed, because we have our own thoughts in our own mind. Now, don't get me wrong, so we may have thoughts that come in our mind, which is fine. But as Elder said, when the book is silent, then we're silent. So a lot of things that we may not, and we would not ever know. We would not ever understand. Because it's not for us. It's too broad, too mass. It's too much for us to know everything that's in the Word of God as far as understanding. And going back into the creation. In the beginning, God created. And there were different people who were, well, how did he do that? I said, he just did it. He spoke it into existence. And it came forth. So people would come to you with many things to try to get you to elaborate, you know, to go over it, to get your opinion of it. But we have to just stay in the Word. As long as we stay in the Word, you can't go wrong. All right. Now, if I knew that these shepherds here were in the field abiding over their flock, shepherds were not on a high scale of people. They were considered low as far as the social standard of people. They were not considered as very important because they was out in the field watching sheep. All right. But Jesus used this illustration here of a shepherd because Jesus is our what? The Word of God said he is our good shepherd. So we find here that when he began to use this and they were in the field, and the illustration here that and the angel of the Lord appeared. It just appeared. God just appeared. And the light of the divine power, the angelic being, began to bring the message The humble shepherd saw the heavenly majestic light. Their fear was normal to be afraid, because they were seeing what? A miraculous sign. They were seeing something they had never seen before. So when they began to see this miraculous sign here, began to see this, they were afraid, and we would have been too. So we find here, because I remember one time, it's been several years ago, and I was working in Nashville, and it had begun to rain, but it was sleeting, and I was on the road, and I said, Lord, I got to get home. And I just said, Lord, keep your angels in camp round about me. All at once, I looked in my rearview mirror. I don't know what it was, but it was like something like float. Just a light. And I said, woo, what was that? And I remember saying to myself as I got down the road, Father, I said, now Lord, I asked to keep the angels round about me. I didn't have to see one. I was just telling you myself, you know. I didn't have to see one, but God will do just what you ask him to do. And he will take care of you. You may not understand. And to this day, I don't know exactly what it was, but I just felt something was like a light bulb. Or will it be here? And the Lord helped me get home that day. It took me a while to get home, because it took me about an hour to drive White Street Pike. Because the time I hit Robinson County line, that line between Davidson and Robinson can be treacherous. Am I right, Sister Jackie? It can be treacherous. You wouldn't think it's that bad, but I mean, it took me from that to about an hour to get home because the road was so bad. Came up on transfer trucks and slid off the road. People was out there. I said, Lord, I can't help but help. Send them some help. Because I just kept moving along. You know, but the Lord watched over me and took care of me. So we find here, so with these angels here, they were clothed, I'm sure, in their mind when this event took place. And when they began to see these angels, as they began to come up on them. So the angels reassured them and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born, I'm watching my time. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm going to read. Go ahead and read the next verse. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All right. Now the angel here began to comfort them and said to fear not. God comforts us when we're things happen, and it's unexpectedly, and it kind of shake you up sometimes. But the word of God comes and gives us what? Peace. It gives you comfort. It consoles your mind. Because the enemy is, we're not out on the street corner selling drugs or robbing stores, but the enemy now fights where? In the mind. The enemy wants to fight in our mind because he can't get us out there doing other things. So now it makes us fearful, try to make us fearful. Even when the doctor may give you a report. I remember when I had the issue with the brain, and my sisters, Margie and they were with me. And as the doctor began to give me the information about what was going on, I guess he wondered what was wrong with me. Because I sat there and just looked at him. I go, all right. And sister, my sister Margie was saying, whoo, Lord have mercy, Jesus. She was really praying over in that corner. She was hollering. But it didn't, you know, I didn't get fearful. And that was why. The peace of God. Because I didn't know what they were going to tell me, but I asked God to give me some peace. You know, to help me go through whatever they was about to say. So it was just that peace that came over me. And when he was talking, I mean, he went into some details. Am I right, Sister Margie? He went into some things that I, you know, that, and I began to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going through that. I just began to say it. I'm not going to have that, God. I'm not going to do that. Then I just kept saying it over and over in my mind. And I remember Brother Eddie one Sunday, I was standing up here. Now, I remember that Sunday school, I sat down for a minute, and Brother Eddie came through and said, he patted me on the shoulder. You're going to be all right. You're going to be here. You're going to be all right. I just remember him, different one said, but that was just something. It made me think when I look back at it, that when he walked up to me that Sunday. And that was just a reassurance that everything was going to be all right. And we have, God gives us that reassurance that things in our lives, what we're going through, it's going to be all right. We may not understand it, and the fear may come up on us, but I often tell people, pray for peace. Ask God to give us some peace. Because God has given us the word. And when we read God's word, it comforts you. I remember when Deacon Gardner passed, I wasn't sleeping good at night. And I remember Sister Irene telling me, read the book of Psalms. I got the book of, I set up in the bed every night and still keep a Bible right there in the bed. I opened it up. I didn't put in a particular Psalm. I just opened up the Psalms and start reading. Don't you know just doing that gave me peace? You don't have to have some burning that there's a bishop coming through preaching a revival to tell you God uses just simple individuals. And they can tell you some things. And if I didn't heed it, I still probably wouldn't be sleeping good at night. But because she said it, I said, all right. And that's exactly what I did. So fear would come up on you because I was afraid of being home. And because Mary was in school. And I was afraid of being home by myself. And because I wasn't used to being home by myself. I always had folks in the house. But I was fearful, you know, because I think my hearing noises and bumps and all through the night waking up. And I thought, I can't keep this up because I'll be sick. You know, trying to see what's going on, jumping about the bed, looking at me. And then, but after I started reading, I would just go right over to sleep. And would sleep all night. And still do. Don't take me a long time. My head hit that pillow, I'm gone. So what is it? The God can conquer that fear in your life. So we find that these shepherds were fearful because Adam, the Lord had a message for them. But he told them not to be afraid. That for you is born this day in the city of David, as I said, this was a message that was to come forth, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Gave them even the details as to when they got there to know the difference of which child it was. Now, the significance of the manger, which is the feeding trough, is what? What do you think the significance of that manger, that feeding trough?
The sign the angels that announced the shepherds and so they found it just as they had stated. So a lot of things, as we would say, breadcrumbs lead you to things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the breadcrumbs that the shepherds were able to find exactly what had been told to them. It was born to be, and they found it just like it said. So it would be an unusual thing to find a baby in a feed.
Right.
When they see it, just like the angel had said, then this must be it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we've been looking for.
Beyond a shadow of doubt, they would know. God sometimes gives us, and he used the word breadcrumb, to lead us to where we need to go or what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And when he does that, and you follow that path, just like the shepherds here, when they got busy, they began to follow a path. God had mapped it out for them that when they would get to Bethlehem, they would find exactly what the Lord had told them they would find. So sometimes God gives us pathways, but do we always follow the path?
That's just like Pastor Cass. She was sick. That night, y'all, she was going to die. She prayed, Lord, if you just heal my body, I'll go down and get her. I
Roy and I have been witnessing to about being baptized, being baptized, never done it. She got so sick that night, she prayed, Lord, and promised, Lord, if you just give my life, I'll be back.
She's
hurt. Then I'll go down and get that. Went to sleep, woke up fresh,
fish
and everything. And the Lord spoke me back to what she promised.
What she promised. Spoke it back to it. You said. So when we, God gives us a pathway, but we, and we're slow to follow. Why are we slow to follow the path? Why are we slow to follow the breadcrumbs that the Lord has laid out for us? What is the issue? Have we ever thought about those things? What is that issue that we don't do what God has given us and directed us to do? Maybe because it seems so simple. Sometimes we think that it's going to be some big finale of a pathway. But sometimes it's when the curtains are closed.
Well, that is what you said. I think back to the Old Testament where Nathan went to see the prophet. He got one of the Israelites to be the maid for his wife. And she said, oh, if my master could just see the prophet, that he'd be healed and delivered. And so he went to see him. And he said, he wouldn't even come out. No, he just got to go watch. And he got mad and puffed off and on it. And the people wouldn't say, look, after he comes to some break, like, well, I thought he was going to come out of the house. Just like you said, sometimes we're looking for a great night when it's just a simple little thing. That's where our deliverance and our help come from.
Our deliverance and help.
Simple thing.
Simple thing. A child can change.
We probably baptize how much people they could find in the Bible where it said, be baptized in buttermilk. We food, fill our food with buttermilk.
Oh, y'all got buttermilk food? I said,
they we brought it in trouble, but it didn't say that.
No.
In Jesus' name, I've been baptized. I've been,
it's so simple.
Just the little simple thing. And even a child can tell you something. It's so simple that the Lord wants you to do, or directing you. A child can tell you something like that. Just say two or three words, and it'll be it. I remember, I think it was Noel Springer. I'll try that for a married name. When she was a little girl, on the other side, Sister Glenda and Brother Jackie were praying about wanting to have a child. And Christy walked up, because I was standing there, and when she did, it was after service. She walked up to him and put her hand on her stomach. You got a baby in there. And she said, Christy, get away. You know I ain't got no baby there. And a few weeks later, she found out. Crazy. You see, a child can tell you something, and I have never forgotten that. A child can tell you something. You know what they were praying about? God gave her the word, and she told them. And she said, what? No, I'm not crazy. A couple of weeks later, she was crazy. So you begin to see, just be ready to hear what God is speaking and what he's saying to us as a people. And don't write it out so quickly. Just meditate on it. It doesn't mean for you to act right then, but meditate on God's word. Meditate on what's coming to us. Or when the word of God comes across that pulpit when the elder's preaching, and he's under the anointing, and I'm sitting there, I'm trying to take it all in. Why? Because there's something in there for me. There's something in there for Minister God. So anyone that's preaching or teaching, I'm trying to get every little tidbit that I can get. Because I don't know what I may have to do or go through on the next week or when I go out the door. So I'm trying to, why am I doing that? It builds you up. It builds up your relationship with the Lord. that when things do come, you'll know how to stand and fight the enemy. All right, now, it says here, and suddenly there were with the angels, I'm just talking till they come in, angels, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now that was what? A heavenly what? A heavenly host. That was an army of angels. Didn't say what the angels looked like, but it said it was a heavenly host. They came forth and appeared, and they was praising God, giving him glory. When we come into the house of God, we need to be ready to give him some praise, to give him some glory. Don't let the praise team sing themselves to death. Don't let the musician have to bang, bang, bang on the organ and bang on the drum just to get us to clap our hands. Get our hands up and start clapping, because God has done great things for us. We're here today. We may not be moving like we want to move, but what, we are here in the house of God today. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be at? You ever thought about it? If God hadn't saved us, what kind of lifestyle would we be in? What would we be? Would we still be alive? You know, because of being out in the street doing this and doing that. So we find here that we need to just stay in God's will and give him some glory, give God some praise. And it came to pass as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste. They didn't waste no time. They got up. They got busy. And to go see what the angels had told them. In other words, they believe. We've got to believe when God's word comes forth and be ready to move. All right, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And they had, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. In other words, they got busy, and they did, went and saw it. Not only did they see the baby, they didn't keep it to themselves. A song, old song we used to sing, said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. When God saved me, I just couldn't keep it to myself. I had to tell others what God had done and what he's continuing to do in my life. When that's what we are here for. We're not here just because we're here, but we're here for a purpose. And our purpose is to tell the world about Jesus Christ and him crucified. His purpose in coming. The reason why we celebrate this season. Not because we're trying to get the biggest gift of all the presents, but because we're giving God praise for what he has done for us as a people of God. And I'm going to have to wait until they came in, but I guess they're on their way. And I'm going to ask Brother William Harrison to help me out and give a thought, the summary for the class, if you don't mind. I'm turning back hands against it. Brother, you ready, Brother?
You go.
Okay. All right. I thought I had to stop. I just saw him standing up there. Okay. And with that here in our lesson here, is an illustration here also of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers at Corinth when he reminded them that God does not do things the way people do. God don't do things the way people do. No, we've studied some in Corinth with the Bible class. Okay? All right, and Paul began to tell them, consider their own calling. We need to consider what our calling is, what God has done. It's not meant for everybody to get up and preach. But what other things can we do in giving God praise in the house of God?
We're willing
to help in the house of God. I had underlined something I wanted to read. That God does not call those who think they are somebody.
What does that statement mean? Who think that they are somebody? I'm sorry.
They act as though they are high minded.
All right. Act as though that they're high minded. They're way up. They're in other words, they can't be touched. All right. Because he calls in essence nobodies, and then makes them somebodies in Christ. So, just be still. Don't try to elevate yourself. In due time, God will put you where you belong. In due time, God will fix it for you where you need to be. Don't get upset. Just continue to praise God and give Him some glory for what He has done for us as a people of God. And I'm going to turn back and then get to Brother Eddie. And I hope you've got something out of the class on the day, and I thank the Lord for allowing me to be able to be up here long enough to get the lesson, teach the lesson on today.
Amen.